For decades, whites have been embracing African-American culture. Commentator Leon Winter wrote a book about the subject, a book called American Skin, Pop Culture, Big Business, and the End of White America. In the book, he argues that integration in the U.S. has been achieved in the cultural marketplace, if nowhere else in society. But he was not prepared for all the white people who would read his book and assume that buying black culture means buying racial equality.
White women who feel transformed, with Halle Berry's shade of Revlon on their lips, encouraging. Same white women who assume they've just touched up part of America's race problem, depressing. Whites should be held innocent of racial hypocrisy until proven guilty. If you give great thought to the presence of black recording artists on your party playlist and no thought to the absence of African Americans on the guest list, you're guilty. Corporate bosses who root for mostly black teams on Sunday but never dream of drafting black talent on Monday go straight to jail. But those cases are easy. Easy as prosecuting old-school, bleeding-heart white liberals who usually convicted themselves. That school's closed now, replaced by a broad new market niche, the deaf white people. People who are black by consumption, white by privilege, and think they're beyond being called on it. White people with no smoking guns in their closets, just racks full of baggy jeans, Timberland boots, and Jay-Z CDs. Yeah, I know. My book heralds their arrival. But now that they're here, I don't know how to handle white people so sure they've evolved beyond the liberal and its guilt, and slipped beyond whiteness itself to a place of cultural exemption from racial chauvinism. What do I do about Bruce Willis? His people called to say he loved my book and really wanted to meet me. I couldn't imagine why. We met at the opening of the Deaf Poetry Jam on Broadway. He's a big hip-hop fan. Okay, he wasn't as tall as he is on screen, but definitely the image of a white boy cool enough to hang with Sam Jackson in a Die Hard movie. And then I remembered, page 7 of the introduction, in which I wrote that Bruce Willis is not your father's white boy action movie star. That's how I see him on screen. Who knew that's how he saw himself? Willis invited me to join him at the Fly Fly after party, but I never made it to his table. Later, on the phone, Willis said he's a Jewish guy from a typically prejudiced South Jersey town who grew up dancing to Motown and playing ball with black classmates. Classic new school market niche credentials. He vowed to become a white man who's comfy and proud in his multicolored American skin. Okay, Willis supports President Bush, big tax cuts, free market capitalism that uses rap music to sell breakfast food to his three daughters. Who am I to tell him he can't embrace ghetto music without embracing conventional ghetto politics? Who can deny white people permission to be Republican and cool, or even residentially segregated and cool? A lot of people say somebody should. But what are we going to do? Take back the cool and hold it hostage for reparations? Of course not. Many deaf whites, Bruce Willis included, insist their overt embrace of a miscegenated pop culture has finally numbered the days of America's old race problem. I think so too, but in the meantime, I'm on alert for signs of a new one. Teenage white boys sporting urban designer gear? Cool. Same white teens accessorizing with dysfunctional ghetto attitude in my face? Less than cool. Greet each other as my nigga? As in, what's up, my nigga? Very disturbing.
Leon Winter is the author of the book American Skin, Pop Culture, Big Business, and the End of White America.